Blog Talk Radio.
Well, he has fought at the Playboy Mansion, so I'm sure.
ask him about that.
Okay, cool.
We'll find out what we're missing, all those flights that we talk about.
Before we start off anything, I want to start off with some good news for my fellow Philadelphians. One of greatest players in modern history, definitely one of the greatest players in Philadelphia history, the Barnes execution of Hopkins. I don't know if he's got the front line up for early, he had 2007 before he was junior. And really starting in early December, down on the day, against Danny Green, who's
34 and 4. 4 with 3 draws and 21 knockouts versus Yvonne Hernandez, 25-3, 1 draw and 15 knockouts. And also a super featherweight 12 rounder for the WBA World Super Featherweight title between Jorge Linares, 27-0 with 18 knockouts, and Juan Carlos Delgado, 28-0 with 14 knockouts. Also, the OPBF featherweight titles on the line between fighters. 12 Satoshi Hosono and Yuki Nichols. Hosono was 15-0, 12 knockouts, and Inouki is 28-2. What other big fights do you know have coming up this week? Can you tell me anything?
Sir, what you can hear again?
What other big fights do you know have coming up this weekend?
Weekend of October the 8th.
October the 10th would be Saturday.
Tagua, let's do it.
Alright, well, we also have Odd Lanier, so anyway, Keith Ho with 10 knockouts versus Monty Barrett, 34-7 and 20 knockouts.
This is definitely step up for Solis, fighter out of Cuba. Solis is in there, a lot of good fighters. You know, John, obviously, lost to Nicolas Crouch out on the title shot a few years ago. He also, you know, had a loss to David Knight in first foray, anyway. But, a good fighter. He had a very impressive knockout about a year and a half ago. It was Tony Fields, knocked out about 45 seconds. That's a perfect step up for Dallas. So Desmond, how many fighters on
Ricardo Castillo. He lost to Jesus Chavez. He lost to Juan Carlos Burgos. Jesus Rojas. Ricardo lost to Jonathan Oquendo. He lost to.
I don't know.
never happened breathalyzed. So,
works. I'll help you out a little bit with that.
Hi, darn it.
Asking us what we wanted to be when we grew up.
And I told him I want to be a boxer. I want to be a world champion one day. And he asked me, was that serious? And I told him, yeah. I said, all right, you know, I'm going to see to it that you get signed up to box. You know, and he took me to the town, and I've been rolling ever since.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty interesting. I don't think I've ever seen a fighter with this many spread apart fights. I mean, you fought in California, Nevada, Mississippi, Tennessee. Deep at home in Louisiana, you get to fight. And obviously out there in the Cayman Islands, we just talked about. So, fully living the experience, and you're still undefeated, so it must be pretty incredible for you.
I'm just logging on to your podcast page right now, and I'm going to check out some of your fights. You know, I've seen some guys that obviously beat a guy like John Easton, Keith Brown, beating Sid Jackson, the former world title challenger, Pablo Miranda, who was 15-1 coming in. But, I want to know, like, what fighters that you most, admire, players past and present, inspire you that to pattern yourself after?
In the past, you know, I admire Diego Dorado, you know, because I was always pissed on my whole life, you know, as a young kid fighting and as a man, you know. Present fighters, I like Floyd. You know, I like him, but I don't like the way he carries himself outside the box. Mainly, the guys I come up with, man, Lamont Peterson, Anthony Peterson, Andre Ward, you know, those guys matter the whole lot, man. And, you know, they've been a big inspiration to me, you know. They inspire me a whole lot to do what I do. You know, they carry themselves well in and outside the ring.
Yeah. And I think with Floyd, I think a lot of it is just like, Floyd Jr., and Rich and I were talking about this a week ago, or after his fight with Marquez. I think he did it on HBO, he was very gracious. He likes to play the bad guy, and I like being on the as part of a world, and he likes to be a villain. I think deep down, because when Arturo Gatti passed away, and he just did a conference call with him, and he was very gracious towards Gatti. But I really don't like the way his father, Floyd Sr., and his uncle and trainer, Roger, conduct themselves. Because I think they're very bad at pulling a guy like Floyd. Because what they do is they belittle opponents. And the one thing which I always say, if you're going to fight somebody, you know, never, you know, turn this person to piece of garbage, because if you win, you haven't accomplished anything. You've beaten somebody that's not any good. And if you lose, well, because you have beaten, you lost to a guy that's a boss.
Yeah.
I always believed during my fight career and my, you know, tenure at training people and working with, you know, kids outside the ring and stuff like that, you got to show respect to anybody that has the courage to support them steps, because as you know, them three steps can be, you know, the longest walk in the world.
And your last steps.
And anybody that has the courage to do that is a very special human being that can climb them three steps.
Exactly. Yeah, break two ribs. My last sparring session, I had a box up at the Kevin Kelly gym time up here in Brockton, Massachusetts. And it's got a lot of history there. Marvin Hagler came out of that gym. So I had a boxing match with a kid that had probably about 6 or 7 inches worth of reach on me. My skill is my jab.
Yeah.
I didn't listen to my trainer. He told me to go to the body. I just tried to establish my jab. And taught me every time I tried to stick with it. It's tough. But I've guarded my face pretty well. Just kept some bashing shots to the ribs while I was kind of covering up, waiting for him to die out. But he didn't die out.
In good shape, huh?
Great shape. I'd
probably the biggest, most cut guy I've ever fought. I fought some pretty good fighters in college. Went to military schools, which is usually the best in the boxing tradition. Tony's school came along. It was one of the first private schools to win in a long time. The national championships. But, I never fought professionally. I'm trying to make a comeback to the sport and get a professional fight at least. And maybe even lucky. So I've been doing that the last few months. And
speaking of pilot rights, the school that I went to was a small school, Lockheed University. And we just put two kids in the pro ranks. One guy I trained when I was in Ridgeville, graduating there, he suffered his first loss. I believe he's 14-1. He's got a jersey by the name of Chuck McCloskey there. But Tom, the other one, might be a guy that we might be seeing you guys meet up down the road, because he's also a junior welterweight by the name of Josh Mercado. He just had pro this past summer. He's 2-0. But I can see that being a pretty good fight between two prospects.
Okay. That's what's up. I hope he keep on winning and we can make it happen one day.
Now, Ty,
I'm a big point man. I know some other point games about what it used to be, and I said, you know what, you're wrong. Now, I'm lucky. I'm a guy living outside of Philadelphia, so I get to go to a lot of local Philadelphia cards, the Pink Rising, he places in South Philly. I said, when I go there, these places are packed, and I get to see a lot of these young, up-and-coming guys, and there's a lot of really, really good fighters out there. And, you know, eventually you get two prospects, and people want to see them. You match it up, and you can, you know, talk about, you know, really selling some tickets.
Now, Ty, in your division there, is that the division you plan to stay in? Are you looking at some of the top contenders and trying to steer your course towards them? Or are you looking to change weights? What's the story with that?
No, you know, I'm a lightweight, actually, 135 pounds. You know, I just fought those fights at 140 because, you know, I had to take them as they came. You know, I wasn't a time fighter up until August, you know, I just signed with Prize Fight Promotions, you know, and now I'm fighting in my regular weight. You know, this fight is at 135 pounds. Whoever my promoter and manager, you know, put in front of me, that's who I'm fighting. Whether it be top contenders in these next couple of fights or whoever, I'm just ready to fight whoever, man. I'm not ducking nobody, no fight. You know, I want to fight the best. It's nothing like getting those. Those guys put records on your resume, you know, and I like it a whole lot. I'm looking forward to fighting guys, you know, and top rated guys.
Yeah, who impresses you the most around your weight division?
At 35, who impresses me the most? I gotta say, Evan Valerio, he's a pretty tough guy. Guessing a know, once these guys make a name for themselves, you know, and tell them, then it's wide open to me, you know.
Well, you know, looking at that kind of landscape, you know, like you were 16-0 and 11 KOs, I mean, you pretty much go where you want to at this point. Seems like,
yeah.
You know, it's like you get this fight coming up, it's sort of a home territory, right? The D.C. can't be too far from Salisbury, right?
I'm like 2 hours away.
Not too bad. Now, what's your training staff like? Who you got to help you on building you into this champion that you want to be there?
You know, of course, Barry Hunter. You know, he trained all of us. Me, Anthony Lamont, Emmanuel Guerrero, and Dominic Wade. And Barry, he's 65. Patrice Harris and Andrew Council. And I got a team of conditioning and strength coaches. You know, Jeff Miller and Danny Thompson. That's my team right there, you know. Of course, my stable mates, you know, all of us help each other. You know, we don't have to really go outside of our own for spawn or anything. There's no need in bringing spawn partners in, because, you know, different styles. Everybody's bringing their own spawn to the table. We got Southpaw, you know, people, you know, Abdi, Lamont, Dominic, they can pretty much fight any type of style. So I've got my hands full now.
Now, D.C. is notorious for a lot of crime, a lot of murder. Did you grow up in a bad neighborhood like that and have to deal with all that stuff around you?
Yeah, I've come from one of the worst parts of D.C., South East, Washington, D.C., and, you know, a lot of my friends in jail, you know, in jail, or on drugs, you know, and a couple of them done good for myself, but fortunately I made it out of it. I made the right decisions in life, follow my dreams.
So what's that like so far? I mean, growing up, always wanting to be a boxer. Now you're 16-0 and building your record here up pretty good. What's it like now that you're in full swing here after pretty much your dream? Is it everything that you imagined it would be?
Yeah, the dream come true. Everything I would imagine it would have been. I would trade for anything.
And how's the money situation? I mean, this is one of the debates we're always talking about, mixed martial arts versus boxing. And boxing seems to always win, because it seems to me anyway that those boxers are still getting paid way more than mixed martial arts. But how is this going? How's the money for you, as a prospect?
Man, the money's pretty decent for me. You know, I have a team, a training manager, Barry Hunter. You know, I feel like Barry has my best interest in heart, you know, and he made sure I got the best deal I can get coming from Crafts Fight. You know, I don't have no complaints. No complaints at all. I'm in a comfortable position. There's no problems with me. And I don't know how much the UFC or MMA fights get paid exactly, but, you know, I'm doing all right.
Yeah, I know that, you know, it's very rare that they get paid over $10,000, you know, some of the undercard fighters. The main events, it differs per, you know, whoever, depending on who it is, it's all different. But the undercard fighters, I mean, it's a big thing if they get $10,000. Usually they have to get, like, a submission of the night to get the submission bonus to qualify or to get over $10,000.
Sure.
And I know that's actually a pretty common amount for a main event in boxing. On a small card, it's $10,000. So never mind. Sure. So a UFC pay-per-view card type of deal.
Yeah.
We lost Tony. Tony, you still there?
Yes, I am. Well, when it comes to boxing, I don't know a lot of UFC yet to be. With boxing, there's a couple of factors that you also don't know about. But you're more just like a regular, you know, sometimes they have to sell the tickets. Like, somebody, they get 100 tickets, they can sell them all, they might get, 10% or whatever the deal is. But when you have mainly your undercards or preliminary fighters, a lot of times what you see is $100 to $200 for a contracted round. Since you're scheduled to fight a four-round fight, anywhere from, say, $400 to $800. Now, even if you're fighting 30 seconds, you still get that amount. And, of course, you have your trainer fees, but your manager, he has this cut amount that you would get out. I know the one manager at my old place, what he would do was he would take, a half. You're getting, $800, he would take $400. But then he would also make sure that the sanctioning fees and all, fees and all that would take it out of his cut of it. So you would get your $400. Of course, that's all pre-tax. Yeah, but when you get the card, even if you want the non-title watch part of, say, the ESPN card or anything, well, back on USA, you have a Tuesday night fight. Obviously, just because even if you're not going to be on TV, that's still getting money funneled from the network, whether it's ESPN2 or USA, or as you get bigger, HBO or Showtime. So there's a big card. We're going to watch this fight on 2 weeks. It's going to be in, Las Vegas, Nevada, the MGM Grand, and the main event is going to be on HBO. The main event is the undercard fight. And you're just a four-rounder fight in the very first fight of the night. It doesn't matter because that card is going to get so much more money pumped into it because of the HBO contract. So you, instead of getting 100 to 200 rounds, you might get 400 around or 500 around. So if you can turn, say, $400 to $800 a point, you might turn around and get $2,000 to $4,000 for that point. Yeah. Did that answer your question?
Yeah, that's the Rain Man of boxing over there.
It's called Rain Man.
Good one, gang. Go.
The Rain Man. Anyway, I was wondering, is this fight the toughest fighter you faced so far?
I would have to say, the guy, Jose Santa Cruz.
Jose Leonardo Cruz?
Twice. Huh?
Jose Leonardo Cruz?
Yeah, Leonardo, not far. Yeah, Jose Leonardo Cruz.
I think it's not
Santa Cruz.
Jose Leonardo Cruz is fought in 9/11.
Yeah, thank you.
Took his 6 rounds to TKO San Jose.
Yeah.
Is it a lot tougher fight now in the hot weather out there in California? Or?
Okay, repeat the question.
Was it a tough fight now in the hot weather out there in California?
I mean, the weather, it wasn't there hot. The weather didn't play a factor in that fight. It was indoor.
Yeah.
It was he was a former Olympian, Peggy Ford on a 2000 Olympic team. He's right, man. He had punching power. I don't think he realized how hard he hit.
Well, before he fought you, it kind of a puzzling situation. He fought Urbano and Keon, 22-0, and that guy also took 6 rounds of the TKO. But before that, he fought
He stopped him on cut, and he dropped Urbano.
Oh, really?
He dropped him.
Oh, it's interesting. The fight before that, he fought a guy, Josh Wells, who was 0-1. He knocked him out in the first round. I think that would be the mismatch of the week. Jeez, that's rough. For the guy who's 0-1. Yeah, tough. But he's had all really good fights. Dating back to 2004 was the last time he had a lopsided fight other than that one.
Yeah.
So he's been in some real tough competition. And what's the secret to your success? Do you have a favorite punch or style that's different from anybody else's?
I mean,
I feel as though, you know, I got tremendous punching power. That's all, you know. I can box, I can do it all, man. Got a big heart. I'm willing to bang if you want to bang. You know, if I got to go to the box, I'll box. The biggest thing is being in shape, man. Training hard is being prepared for these fights. That's something I always do.
So take us through a traditional everyday training routine. What do you do top to bottom?
Shadow box, lot of calisthenics, pull-ups, lot of stomach work, spine, almost every day. 10, 12 rounds, running, in the pool sometimes, do a lot of work in the pool, go through the weight, light weight.
Lighter weights but higher reps?
Yeah, exactly.
That's why, because, when I started boxing that was 6 years ago, that's when I was doing the low weight, high rep. And I talk to people now, and I'm a short, stocky guy. That's the way I'm built. I'm always going to look like a guy that looks a lot of weight, even though I really don't.
Everybody who support me, everybody.
Did you have any other questions for Ty?
No, you know, I asked him, you know, a lot of the questions that I wanted to, you know, ask him today, and I just want to wish him, you know, Ty, I want to wish you the best of luck going on in your career. I mean, looks like you're off to a really good start. You've certainly stepped up your competition lately, and, you know, when it comes to Saturday, you know, best of luck to you. I know you got a tough cookie in front of you, but we're pretty confident you'll do well.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate it. Stay on the grind, and I'm sure that you'll be doing all right. Sounds like you've got a pretty intense training regimen. You're really intense. You want to stay undefeated, so that's good. You know, we don't often hear the story of a guy who always wanted to be a boxer, and it's everything he thought it would turn out to be. Unfortunately, we hear too many stories about boxers that they get to the end of their career, and they're looking back, and they tell the next guy coming up it's not worth it. We had a guy on here weeks ago, old school boxer back in the Rocky Marciano day. And you know, I'm trying to tell him I'm coming back to boxing, and he's like telling me, no, don't do it. It's not worth it. But I don't know. I think it's a good time. You know, the boxing is really on its toes right now. There's a lot of opportunity. There's a lot of great fights being made because of the UFC and the mixed martial arts starting to steal some of the market share. You know, it's forcing these promoters to put on the better fights. Really chess guy, so I think it's on the rise.
Yeah. Okay. So there's a new breed of fighter coming, you know, so we're going to change the game.
Yeah, it looks like you already have, you know. You've stopped a couple guys that looked really good, and, you know, they had a couple losses here and there, and one loss in the case of Pablo Miranda. And you're on track there. It looks like you're steadily rising up and you're testing yourself. That's good to see. Wish you the best of luck, and we'll definitely
catch up
with you down the line.
Thank you.
Thanks for the interview. I appreciate it. You're welcome. You have a good night.
Thank you.
All right, Tom. Good night. All right, you too, man. So there we go. That's Ty Barnett. And unfortunately, I don't think his fight's going to be on TV or anything, but. I'm sure we'll see him on ESPN Friday Night Fights or Wednesday Night Fights one of these days. He's going to make some waves. Right now, they show him ranked 13th in the United States out of 223 ranked on BoxRec and 39th in the world out of 1,350. And that's pretty decent for a guy who's been boxing just since 2005.
Right.
I mean, obviously, he's probably had a lot of amateur stuff before then, but professionally, he's been at it since 2005. So, we'll definitely be keeping our eye on him and where he goes. In mixed martial arts, we have a couple things to talk about. Of course, we had the Ultimate Fighter in another episode. Very unimpressive final fight in that episode, but we got some insight into a couple things. Kimbo was back in the spotlight for a lot of the episode. They were looking back at the Kimbo versus Roy Nelson fight, and I don't know if we had to talk about this last time, Tony, but the broadcast of that episode had 6 million viewers on Spike TV. Imagine that.
Wow. That Kimbo episode?
Yeah, that was like record-setting.
I mean, the guy is, he's a media sensation. I mean, you know, you got to give the guy credit. He basically took the underground YouTube fighting weight that he had, and he's turned himself into a highly known and recognizable fighter out there, a very limited fighter this is.
Well, it's funny. My favorite part of the whole episode, there was one part when they're talking to Kimbo after he lost, and it was the other guy who had lost in the first episode. Talking to him, and you can still see the big scar on this guy's forehead where he got cut open. Remember, I was talking about that horrible cut? It was like the worst you've ever seen. He was bleeding everywhere, and they should have stopped it way before they did. But anyway, this guy is trying to talk to Kimbo after Kimbo's fight, you know, trying to pep him up, I guess. Or, well, I don't know, he's got a funny way of pepping him up, but that's what he was trying to do. But he's saying, telling Kimbo, you know, yeah, well, I came in thinking I was going to win. And I lost, you know. And Kimbo's all trying to be positive. He's you know, think positive. I
think I can do
it. This guy is just like, you know,
he's I'm ready to lose just what happened, you're going to lose.
Yeah, and this guy trying to give Kimbo advice. I mean, he's like 1-1 in MMA competition or something. His body language is just totally defeatist. You know, he's sitting in a chair. Kimbo's standing up, like, muscles flexed, and just, you know, all positive. This is such a funny thing. And it seemed like the guy was still woozy from getting his ass kicked. He's trying to give advice. Like, what the hell?
Well, you were talking about, you know, blood and, you know, the real bloody episode from a few weeks ago. It just happened to remind me, all this, you know, a few days ago, I was, flipping off and, I have my new Fios cable, and I'm loving it. You know, like all these extra, like, channels, especially sports channels that I didn't have before. So I see one of them, like, an ESPN Classic or something like that, had classic boxing on it. I'm like, ooh, let me tune into this. And it was an Antonio Margarito fight from, like, a couple years ago, like 4 or 5 years ago. And he's fighting this guy, and he's pounding on him. I mean, I turned it on just as they were about to stop it anyway. But he's pounding on this guy pretty good. And the guy's ear was literally ripped off the top of his head. It looked like when Kimbo pulled that James Thompson guy.
Right, yeah.
It was like that. This guy didn't come in with, like, a big cauliflower ear. This guy came in with a normal-looking ear, and Margarito was just beating on it. Next thing you know, the guy's ear is hanging off the side of his head. And, like, the referee said, like, the referee said, like, what's up? He's nauseous. He's a very good fight. He's done. I'm going to find that on YouTube for you.
Well, you know, the whole debate about Margarito and, you know, how long he's been cheating comes to mind when you think about damage like that, of course. And it's probably one of those fights that they should look at again. But maybe then he was wearing chainmail on his hands. So, that's rough. Getting your hair ripped off. And not by Mike Tyson. But anyway, we do have a lot of mixed martial arts stuff coming up. Whole boatload of stuff this weekend. We start actually the 8th, is it today? Today is the 8th, right? Well, we have over in Tachi Palace Hotel and Casino in Lemoore, California, we have Most Wanted card of fights over there. Also in Para, Brazil tonight, we have Night of Thunder 2, Brazil versus France. Tomorrow night, we have Hell Night 2 in Worcester, Mass, Crown Plaza. And it's way out west from where I am, so unfortunately I'm not going to be able to play that one. But it's an event called Ice Fire. I've never even heard it. But maybe I should check that out and see what's going on. Also, Cage Fighting Championships 11 is tomorrow night. That's in Gold Coast, Queensland, Australia. It's very rare for MMA fights in Australia. But, that's fun. Anyway, also Saturday, we have WEC 43, Cerrone versus Henderson. That sounds like a very good card. Donald Cerrone versus Benson Henderson. Also, Rich Crumpleton versus Dave Jansen. Demetrio Page versus Will Campagnano. Rafael Asuncao versus Jimenez Jemwood. Anthony Njikwami versus Musin Corbery. Noah Thomas versus Scott Jorgensen. Wang Fabiano versus Mekin Samirzir. Also, Eddie Wineland versus Manny Campion. Charlie Valencia versus Cody Wheeler. And Dave Toros Divicius versus Javier Vasquez. I'm sure it'll be on Versus, as all the WEC events are. Also, I'm not sure I got a chance to talk about this last week, kind of off to the side, since we're talking about WEC, it kind of reminded me of the StuffUp Corporation. Did I mention they just took out $1 million loan? Did I talk about that last week?
No, I don't know if you don't
remember. Yeah, well, I just read in the news the other day. The UFC's parent corporation took out a $100 million loan. And it's kind of interesting because it comes to a time when the station casinos empire is really falling apart through bankruptcy and all that. And it's the other main income source for the Fertitta family. And so now they're tapping the USC. They're already in debt $350 million from the last loan they got. And they just went in again for $100 million. And they're still trying to claim they're doing great. Same time, sinking themselves into some big debt here, so we'll have to keep an eye on that and see where it goes. Whoever ends up buying it, if they do sell it, is going to have a lot of debt to think about, assuming what they do. Anyway. Also going on this weekend, October 10th, the Warrior 1 MMA Welterweight Championship is on the line. Between Carlos Newton and UFC, former UFC Shoni Carter. He was on the comeback episode of The Ultimate Fighter. One of those guys has been around forever. Crazy guy. Interesting character. This is up in Gatineau, Quebec, Canada. This Warrior 1 MMA high voltage event. Mm-hmm. Also, the Bantamweight Championship is on the line between Remy Morvan versus Adrian Uli. Mike Kong versus Tom Waters, also on the card. Adrian Puy versus Jose Bruno. Chris Serrano versus Nabil Khabib. Mitch Gagnon versus Jeff Harrison. Tommy Pariseau versus John Frazier. Rob Tracy versus Luke Nadeau. Enzo Antonini versus Josh Hill. Jim Chisel versus Chris Mira. And Nicholas Pariseau versus Xavier DeRocher. Raging Wolf 5, Mayhem in the Mists is also going on down in Niagara Falls, New York. Raging Wolf, sounds like a vicious fighting league. Well, at the Seneca Niagara Casino and Hotel. Also, King of the Cage Strike Point at the Lake of the Torches Casino in Lac du Flambeau. The King of the Cage Strike Point, Caleb Nelson, Jason Freeman is the main event, and then Jake Kooster versus Miles Jury, Katie Shelton versus Stephanie Schneider. This is at the Lake of the Torches Casino. The Lake of the Torches. There must be a lot of torches around that place. Gladiator Challenge, first strike, is going on at Red Hawk Casino in Placerville, California. Anthony Vargas versus Ruben Villarreal, Larry Wasson versus James Ranchier. We made that on the show, The Educator. Not too long ago, actually. He's one of our recent interviews a few months ago, at least. Cal Borsham versus Chris Wood, also on that card. And let's see, you like this one, Tony. Philly Biker Brawl going on. The Greater Philadelphia Expo Center in Oaks, Pennsylvania.
What is Pennsylvania?
Oaks, Pennsylvania.
Oh, yeah, that's over. 10 minutes from the house.
Oh, there you go. You can go to the Philly Biker Brawl tomorrow. Get out of the Greater Philadelphia Expo with your press pass. And wear some biker gear. Wear a Harley Davidson t-shirt. They'll let you right in. Also, the 10th DEEP 44th Impact over at Karakuen Hall in Tokyo. Not too much going on there. A bunch of Japanese guys, as usual. Our Extreme Fighting Organization 32 is going on at Moreno's County Air Banquets in Munster, Wisconsin. Another King of the Cage event, Riptide, up in Canal Beach Casino, Ocean Shores, Washington. MMA Explosion, Gunderson versus Sharp is going on at the M Resort in Las Vegas. I don't know what the M Resort is. That's John Gunderson versus Steven Sharp. Sin City Bike Club in Redline, they're in Center Stage, Atlanta. It's holding Redline Grand Prix opening round.
find out. Let's see, on Sunday, we have a few fights also. We have Squawk 29 at Gold's Gym, South Tokyo NX Tokyo. Game Challenge, Toyo Hashi, at the Club Bayside, Toyo Hashi, Aichi, Japan. The Outsider 8 at Differ Ariake Arena in Tokyo. And Valley Fight League, Broad Avenue Brawlers, at Jaffa Shrine in Altoona. That's about it.
That's not a bar, that's close to Victor in the building.
Well, then you could take in a game between whoever the Pittsburgh Steelers are playing at home and their opponents.
I definitely will not.
Yeah, I know.
I don't like the Steelers are watching the Flyers team in England as far as the league that pisses me off. I don't like the city of Pittsburgh. I don't know why Cleveland is right in the center of the state.
Right.
And that was the time like, the Flyers were starting to get back in the Stanley. They were getting back in the playoffs when I was like just going there, so the Flyers are superior hockey team at the time. But the fact that like, the Eagles were terrible and like the Phillies were like horrible at the time. So they're gonna have those questions like holy shit, go watch. Mm-hmm. So, shut up, people, for example.
Well, the big Red Sox game starts in about 17 minutes, so
I'm gonna survive. I'll be okay. But they were saying like, oh, yeah, the Phillies might beat the Rockies, but the thing is, there's no way that the Cardinals are winning the National League. I said they are. They're already down 0-2.
Well, the Angels just came back and scored 2 runs in the ninth inning to beat them.
I think the Dodgers versus the Red Sox.
Well, I don't think I, you know, too pretty.
good front line pitcher with a Beckett who was on my fantasy team and John Lester, who's when he's on, like the night we went down, we almost saw him pitch a perfect game.
Oh, yeah.
Within two games, but when he's on, I mean, he can be off. I think Buddy Kay is back now, but you know how bad he's been all year. Great field, I think he's still hurt. And I don't know who they think he's going to replace him. Well, I mean, it's hard to say because the Yankees have been, you know,
Wakefield's actually one of our best pitchers this year. I think if he's back healthy for the hitting part of the playoffs, that's a good thing. They might not activate him for the next round, Wakefield.
Yeah.
But he's doing some incredible stuff this year. He got an all-star game the first time in his career, and he had a great record. Beckett has given up the home run ball. Could be just because they shut me down, we're ready for playoff time.
Right, right. I thought it was funny because you have, you know, it's hard to, like, you know, have, like, you know, those are, you're a pretty competitive team.
Right. Well, anyway, other than that, mixed martial arts and boxing. Any other stories that, neglected to mention. Still there, Tony? Tony, I lose you? Hello?
Washington Nationals always suck when they were checking those.
stuff wasn't happening. Like, they were dominating the division so bad. So the last 2 to 3 weeks, you know, guys are half-assing and they're, you know, getting lactate. But they were trying to break out of that, and it was kind of hard.
Really, you know, beating each other up. It's not really any knockout. This is an exciting as I thought it would be.
well, then you just kind of shot yourself in the foot. Then they tried to, you know, edit it, which obviously was a Sylvester Stallone-ism, you know, the Rocky itself, you know, making, you know, the fight look, you know, more exciting than Winnie Wire, and a good emphatic punch would be shown, like, three times at three different angles, and, you know, everybody in the crowd kind of winked, and the family pulled their heads, and the other fighters in the cheer, and they were thinking, look, these fights were really exciting. Well, if you go back to the first year of the Contender and you watch the finale, which was Nate Fredo and Sergio Mora, they showed the whole fight on, like, Fox or whatever channel it was on. And the announcers were Sugar Ray Leonard and Sylvester Stallone. They're doing the commentary. And when the first bell rings, the guys come out, and like 30 seconds into the first round, Stallone's calling it the greatest fight of all time. What he's trying to do there, the fight was okay. I mean, I'm obviously better. I'm obviously seen worse. But he goes, oh my God, these guys are just a roar. I'm like, no, it's not. You know, it's okay scrap. That I would, you know, write an article about it's the greatest fight of all time. Believe me, I'm not getting confused with Scotty Ward or Corrales Castillo or Javier Hearns here.
So nobody got killed with a trident.
Well, he's awful.
Well, anyway, the Super 6 World Boxing Classic show is, seems like it's almost not only along the lines of, but almost biting off the style of 24/7. It's behind the intrigue in the politics to reveal how the unprecedented boxing tournament came together and follows the Super Six fighters as they prepare for the unique challenge. And this Saturday, October 10th, is the premiere. But I have a link to see it now. It's 10:30 p.m. on Showtime. You can see it this evening. It's going to be here Monday, October 12th at 11:30. October 12th and 13th are also the days that the big movie Boondock Saints 2 is going to be screening in Boston, and we're going to try to be hook up with a couple of the actors, or at least one of the actors from the actual movie. Doing a big shoot in Boston, big showing. So we're going to try to get an interview for the show. I think it's going to be the 19th, actually. It's going to be the interview date for the screening of the movie. I'll be able to tell you about for next week's show. So I'll be there next Monday, or Tuesday, depending on which day it'll be. This is a great movie. The first one was pretty good. And it's like, you know, one of those movies you see on TNT late at night nowadays. Edited out. Not as good as you'd see on the original. Anyway, it's about a couple of Irish guys from the Boston area, and they become these vigilante saints, so to speak. And they were saying this little saying every time when they shoot somebody or go shoot someplace up and bust a bunch of gangsters and criminals and scumbags. And it's a great concept, great movie. There's a little comedy in it, too. And it's just a very unique concept all around. I really love the movie. Now they're putting out the sequel, part two. And it's all the same guys playing the original roles. And I think it was a movie that was came out in the 90s, maybe, you know what I'm saying? So it's a fairly old movie. Now they're coming out with part two. And one of the most interesting characters is this guy who is strapped with like six guns on his chest. And he wears like a leather vest with holsters, three holsters on each side. And the guy is a comedian, he's originally a comedian. He's one of the funniest comedians I ever saw growing up. We had like an hour taken from one HBO. And I forget his name, but probably what's coming up. But we'll be able to talk about that next week. For now, I don't know. We don't really have that much else going on in the fighting world. Anything else to add?
No, I mean, even last week, I don't think I got to watch 2 seconds of any Hitchcock and Walter Hassel. That's just in classic that I have, because you set the clip to you with Margarita, but you can't even got a year off. So, yeah, that's a lot. There's not really a whole lot of shit going on. Shower 40%.
Yeah,
and the possible chill call me today with Triple Apps or not.
NetWeather.com is all screwy. I noticed that myself when I tried to do my painting around it. And, I usually go by the Weather Channel Local on the 8th. That helps with anything. It's tough when you're trying to map out a painting job. Like, for example, today, I had to put an 8-hour day in instead of a 4-hour day painting because I did this bridge with sprayed stain. And about probably 6 or 7 hours later, it started to rain, downpour. And it didn't dry properly on most of the bridge. So there's a lot of detail work involved if you don't spray. And I'm having to brush out the whole entire thing all day long. I spent like 6 hours on this freaking bridge. It's a bridge to nowhere. It just goes from like one little part of their property to another. And it's over this little brook where you could just hop across if you really had to. But anyway, they were like really attached to this bridge. So that's what I spent my day on. Thank God it was nice and sunny and windy so that it dried properly. But yeah, the weather can really change in a heartbeat up here sometimes. I thought there was going to be a freaking tornado for the first time in my life the other day. There's so many different little storms circling the area where I was working. It was mostly sunny where we were, but all around you could see like big clouds. Windy, I was like, ah, there it comes. We're going to get that southern blizzard. Tornado. Or if this is that bad hurricane season, too, so. We've just had tsunamis and freaking volcanoes erupting all over the place.
Well, now, if you're supposed to be able to do a lot of Halloween, like, things that go to the month. Well, Saturday night, you know, watch the Philly game. We have the first game out in Colorado. Was I heard it was snowing yesterday, so we're gonna have baseball in the snow. Yeah. Well, so tomorrow night, one of the Penguins just won 5-4. I think some ugly thinking of a Penguin fan like waving to him. I want to kick him in the face. But I see those goalie must have made a gesture when the Philadelphia fans and tackle him.
Well,
Angels.
You'd rather face the Angels than the Sox?
I don't really care. I just want to get there again.
Right. That's the important part.
That's the important part. You know, you can't win it if you're not there. What else do I want to play before we departed? Probably the next year I'm playing on my trip to Wrigley Field. This year when I was going to Red Sox is one of the open sea stadium, and so we were going to go to Wrigley too. And so we were supposed to come back on the Phillies plane a weekend in July, which I should be free. And I'm looking at the flight and stuff now, and I'm like, gotta find out where I'm staying, so I'm starting to put pieces together for that. And I was like going through some old emails yesterday, and I saw an email from my cousin that she met up in Boston this year. Because we were talking about, the trip to Boston, and I was a gift to her father for his 16th birthday, I gave to my father for Christmas. And we're like, hey, man, we've been putting this together for how long? And I found an old email from, last August or September saying, okay, here are some possible ideas for flights and hotels, and that's what we started tapping it all together.
Yeah, I get by. It works. Usually I go always get get somebody else in for free. So that's
another
thing.
Yeah, sure.
So especially when they get that taste of the cage side seats or ringside seats. It's always a good experience. I'll never forget the first time they sat me right next to the cage. I felt really important. Little did I realize that maybe it was still catching on. But it's always good to know people in the fight game. It's always good, I believe, to have somebody wondering, you know, that guy. That's why I have the that guy title.
Go Red Sox. Go. All right, well, I'll talk to you guys next week.